Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
Joining us now is Jared Lyons, who's Chief Economic Strategist at NetWealth and has acted as an external advisor to the Prime Minister, Liz Truss, as well. Good morning to you, Jared Lyons. Thank you for being back with us on Bloomberg Radio. What do you make of the market reaction to the measures announced on Friday and the Chancellor's comments over the weekend? Is the government going to have to do a U-turn?
No, in answer to your question, I don't think the government needs to do a U-turn. The fiscal statement on Friday was very much aimed at a domestic audience. What we've seen in terms of the market reaction is that the Chancellor and to some extent the Bank of England have sort of failed to take on board and address fully all the concerns of the market. But in terms of a U-turn, I would say no. What we've seen since Friday is that the mini budget triggered a major sell-off in UK assets. It wasn't helped by events in the preceding 48 hours. And since then, we've sort of seen value at risk events triggering sort of market positions to be triggered elsewhere. So passive investors, risk investors have been forced to sell. And also many investors in UK assets have unhedged positions. Some of them will retain those positions, but also it might add to forced sell. So all of these factors are at play there. What they need to do in terms of the UK policymaker side is to assess where we stand. The pressure as much falls on the Bank of England as it does on the Chancellor. But in terms of the Chancellor, what are the issues that came out of Friday? What came out of Friday was that markets were still not convinced that his fiscal easing was necessary, non-inflationary, and affordable. I think the fiscal measures are necessary, they're non-inflationary, and they are affordable. But it's quite clear, given the market reaction, that those concerns were not fully addressed. And maybe the subsequent comments, he might need to try and address them.
Okay, so that's what the Chancellor might need to pivot to in terms of messaging. What do you think the Bank of England should do?
Look, well, there's no doubt that we need to move away from a cheap money policy that's dominated in the UK since the global financial crisis. And I've been saying that for some time. Also, it's very important to stress in answering your question that the new policy framework in the UK is very much aimed at fiscal policy, stabilising the economy in the near term, while retaining that fiscal discipline the further ahead one looks. But that will allow monetary policy to clearly curb inflation. So there's no doubt, and this was the case even before Liz Truss became Prime Minister, there was no doubt that the markets were expecting much higher UK interest rates. That's clearly been exacerbated or reinforced by events on Friday. So there's no doubt that the Bank of England needs to tighten policy. The question they need to decide is whether they do it into meeting, which might seem like a panic, or wait till the next meeting. But one thing, if I could just add to this question, one thing I think they shouldn't have done last Thursday was to announce that they will proceed with quantitative tightening. Even though monetary tightening has both higher rates and quantitative tightening as components of it, given that the gilts market was about to absorb not only the normal issuance through the Debt Management Office, but increased issuance because of Friday, I didn't think it made any sense for the Bank of England to proceed with their 80 billion of QT quantitative tightening that they announced on Thursday.
Okay.
In conclusion, I think they should reverse QT. They need to hike rates further. But in terms of hiking rates, they may decide to wait to their next scheduled meeting.
If they did reverse QT, isn't the danger of that you look like you're not being tough enough on inflation and you open yourself up to allegations of government financing?
Well, no, actually, the government financing issue came to a head a year ago when the bank really should have been tightening policy a year ago. And I was talking about higher inflation at the beginning of last year. Then instead of raising rates as they should, they engaged in quantitative easing. So that really went to the heart of the question you're asking about. But last Thursday, they did talk about market conditions when they made their statement. But when one looks at it, what we have is a misalignment of policy. Now, the positive is that fiscal policy is very much geared to actually stabilising the economy. So that's an important aspect from last Friday. But fiscal policy also at the same time is geared
has,
to...
Has it done that, though? Sure, we can't call that as, you know, creating stability given the market reaction we've seen.
Well, you need to... Yeah, okay, obviously Bloomberg is very much focused on the financial sector, but there are three key target audiences. What I would say is that the mini-budget very much addressed two of those three target audiences. As I've said, and indeed as I was writing about in recent weeks, I was concerned about the febrile state of the markets. And indeed, as you're probably aware, I wrote a major piece back in February saying that there would be an inevitable sterling devaluation. So the way markets have unfolded, in my view, is not a full surprise. But what the mini budget did, and coming back to your question, was very much aimed from a political perspective at the domestic audience in terms of the general public, hence capping energy prices, and aimed at the business community, hence the Confederation of British Industry and the Institute of Directors came out being very positive about it because of the supply side measures aimed at investment. But what is quite clear, as I thought before the event, and as I've said to you earlier, what I think they failed to do is address fully those concerns of the markets. Hence, we're seeing the market reaction. And indeed, the focus is not just on the Chancellor, but also given where we were last Wednesday and Thursday with the Fed on Wednesday and the Bank of England on Thursday, it's also focused attention naturally on monetary policy as well in the UK.
Well, you mentioned the possibility of an emergency rate hike. Would you view that as being interference in government policy? And is that something that you would welcome?
I think you need to differentiate between monetary policy and fiscal policy. Fiscal policy is clearly government policy, government spending, government and taxation. What's quite clear, and this is an issue that's come to the fore in recent months about institutions, but what's quite clear is the Bank of England has complete independence in the operation of monetary policy. So it's up to the Bank of England themselves to decide what to do. Now, the challenge with monetary policy in the UK has been that it was far too loose last year when it should have been tightened. But they're in a difficult situation now, and the markets have been saying this in recent weeks, and I've been echoing it. Either you don't raise rates aggressively, in which case you leave the pound vulnerable against a resurgent dollar, or if you do raise interest rates, then you start to weaken the domestic economy. Now, with an economy already, according to the Bank of England, in recession, and with inflation, according to the Bank of England, about to peak, that's why they're treading the path that they are. But at the end of the day, even before Friday, you had the market saying rates needed to go to 4.5%. Now you have the market saying rates need to go well above that. And we have inflation in double digits and policy rates only 2.25%. So it's quite clear that monetary policy is still very loose. But the speed, the scale, the sequencing of that tightening, whilst it was very much focused on the domestic economy, clearly needs to take into account financial markets of behaviour.
So, Gerard, what would you think the Chancellor, what would your advice to the Chancellor be as to what he should say now? You say that Friday was aimed at the domestic market, but clearly he has experience in finance and he knows that international markets are always listening. So what kind of messaging should he come forward with when it comes to debt sustainability?
Okay, well, there are a number of things that have come to the head. Three things in particular. First, he needs to make clear that the markets recognise the difference between his pro-growth strategy as opposed to a dash for growth. The pro-growth strategy is supply side focused on boosting investment. Second, he needs to reaffirm that tax cuts are only part of the story. They're not the full story because it's led to this idea about trickle-down economics. Trickle-down economics is a load of nonsense, but it's definitely not the government's following. What they're following is the supply side agenda. But comments about tax cuts over the weekend seem to have added fuel to the fire in the eyes of the markets. And that comes on to the third part about financial and fiscal discipline and about reducing the ratio of debt to GDP over time. As the Chancellor made clear on Friday, he will have a medium-term fiscal plan. The fact that we didn't have an OBR statement on Friday shouldn't have spooked people just because we knew that they weren't going to have one and they'll have one in a few weeks. But maybe the absence of a medium-term fiscal plan on Friday, even though the Chancellor said that will come later, sort of allowed those misplaced worries to sort of gather sort of strength, shall we say. So I think he needs to make clear those aspects of policy, and then the markets need to recognise that what we have now, very much instead of monetary policy always running to the economy's rescue with rate cuts, with huge problems, it's going to be a case of fiscal policy stabilises the economy in the near term, which will allow monetary policy fully to curb inflation. And on monetary policy, just to conclude the point, since 2008, cheap money has led to asset price inflation. It's led markets to not fully price for risk. It's led to a misallocation of capital. And it's allowed an environment in which the recent pickup of inflation has gathered strength. So we need to move away from cheap money. What the Bank of England clearly has been trying to do, and I think should continue to do, is clearly be mindful of how the domestic economy reacts to that. But okay, at the same time, it's quite clear they need to take on board the worries of the financial markets.
But I keep coming back to this point of the idea of fiscal policy being stabilising, which it's clearly not, given the reaction that we're seeing. This is not a good start for a new Chancellor. Can he turn this around and regain the confidence of the markets?
Well, that's what I'm saying to you. You need to differentiate between the general public, business and markets. And as I've said to you, in recent weeks, my point was that they needed to take account of the febrile state of the markets. So he needs to address fully the concerns of the market. Mm. The Bank of England clearly is behind the curve, as we've seen for some time. That is up to the Bank of England to address that, not for the Chancellor. But in terms of the domestic economy, let's be quite clear. The energy price cap and reversing the tax increases has addressed the big worries the markets had about a deep recession. Of course, the economy has slowed.
Yes.
But over 82% of the fiscal easing on Friday, apart from the energy help, was just reversing two tax increases. The corporation tax increase and the national insurance tax increase. So what we're talking about here is the market. The part of the budget or mini statement on Friday, which I thought was strange, was getting rid of that top rate of tax.
Okay, Gerard. So just to bring our conversation on, just because we're running out of time. So if the Chancellor, what if the Chancellor follows your advice, comes forward with messages that say, look, this is pro-growth, it's not a dash for growth, the tax cuts are just part of the story, they're not the full story, and he also sets out a medium-term fiscal plan. What if he does all of those things, but the market keeps responding negatively because it's the fundamentals of his policy that investors don't like and not his messaging?
Well, he made those points on Friday, he needs to echo it. Of the policy itself, focused on the supply side, is a policy that is well established.
At the wrong time, though?
Sorry, what do you mean at the wrong time? It's not at the wrong time.
Is it the wrong time to focus on those supply side policies?
No. Okay. Well, the energy price cap and reversing the tax increases has effectively ruled out a deep recession that would have blown the public finances out of the water. You've got to borrow somehow. You either borrow to actually stabilise the situation or you're forced to borrow even more because the economy has tanked. So that's the challenge they're in. They've inherited, like every other country in Western Europe, a difficult situation. So he was trying to address or explain that on Friday. But at the same time, it's not just down to the Chancellor. It's also down to the central bank to actually try and get ahead of the curve as well, or to actually try and address the market concerns. It's about monetary policy and fiscal policy. I won't say just acting together, because that would suggest sometimes in people's eyes interference. But what needs to clearly see is for the Chancellor to address the concerns of the markets, as I've said, and for monetary policy to address the worries about inflation pressures.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB Digital Radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.